Would you like to receive a yes answer every time you pray? I know I would. Let's find out how to do exactly that in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're so glad that you've tuned in today because we're in the middle of a very important and very practical series called The Six Secrets of the Christian Life. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast and tell you how to get your hands on a copy of a book that carries the same name as this series. So stay tuned for that. As for now, let's go right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus, where this week we're focusing on six secrets of the Christian life. How do you live the Christian life? How do you grow? How do you become a vibrant Christian, a joy-filled Christian, a spiritually mature Christian instead of a burned-out, depressed one? I was just reading recently about a major Christian figure who became very famous in his early 20s and became a megachurch pastor by the time he was something like 30, and he and his wife have just announced their separation. And so how do you... You know, it can happen to anybody. Your Christian life can just break down for different reasons. And none of us want that to happen.
No.
We all want to grow, or we should want to grow. The question is how, and that's what we've been asking.
Yeah, we've hit several key points looking at some passages in Paul, a passage in James, so far a passage in 1 John. Now we're going to look today at another passage in 1 John, and it shows an activity that is vital if we want to have spiritual victory, but it's not an activity that a lot of Christians think of. If you were to say, okay, what type of activity is crucial in you being a victorious Christian? They'd probably talk about prayer. This is going to touch on the area of prayer, but not in a way that we normally think of.
One book that was a favorite of mine, but no longer, it was called A Way of a Pilgrim, and it was a Russian Orthodox, just a little book that was anonymous, and it's all about prayer. It's about how to become holy through prayer, basically. And the story goes, this pilgrim goes walking across Russia, and he learns the secret of something called the Jesus Prayer. And according to the Jesus Prayer, you become holy by prayer, but you say this prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. But you try to say it thousands upon thousands of times per day until it becomes linked up with the beating of your heart, so it becomes just automatic. So it's like every beat of your heart gets linked up with a different word of the prayer, and eventually you just internalize it so much, it just becomes automatic, and you're praying without ceasing, is, you know, to quote Paul.
It sounds like it's a way to a nervous breakdown.
Well, yeah, really? Absolutely. So in the story, I don't remember exactly how it ends, but the saints who are able to accomplish this, they just glow with God's uncreated light, and they become amazingly holy and stuff like that. And so I think of it now, though, as that's a great example of how prayer gets distorted. I mean, they recognize that prayer is essential to the Christian life, but it gets distorted and turned into this mystical work, this kind of almost mechanistic type of thing that you do. And if you hit all the right buttons and say it the right amount of times, then it'll just kind of automatically work. And that's not really what prayer is, how prayer transforms you, I don't think.
No, Zane Hodges, in the fifth chapter of Six Secrets of the Christian Life, is talking about 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Maybe you could read that for us.
Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So this is about prayer. It's about asking.
Right. What's important here, I think, to recognize, it's talking about praying according to his will.
Right.
And what John is saying is, if we pray according to his will, he's going to give us a yes answer. And I like this quote from Hodges in the beginning of the chapter. He says, Christians spend far too much time praying for matters where God has not revealed his will, and far too little praying for matters where he has.
Well, that's a very interesting idea. Okay, so what kind of thing is he thinking of there?
Okay, my wife has just gone through ovarian cancer and 6 months of chemotherapy. God doesn't say whether she's going to be healed. So I can pray about that, and I have, and I've enlisted lots of people to help pray. But the truth is, we don't know whether it's God's will to heal her or not, right?
Right.
And so that's a fine thing to pray for, but that's not what John's talking about here. Lots of Christians pray that we would be wealthy. They're just trying to decide, does God want me to be a billionaire or a millionaire?
wait a second. So recently I've been praying to God, I want to know whether I should get the Chevy Colorado with the diesel engine or the one with the gasoline engine. Are you right. saying that's not the type of thing I should right. be praying about?
It might be fine to pray for that because you do want God to guide you and give you wisdom. But on the other hand...
So I've been putting a lot of effort into those
that's
prayers.
That's right. That's right. But on the other hand... That's not what John's talking about here. And what Hodges is saying is, look, it's not wrong to pray for other things. Sure, we should. But the truth is, what John is saying is if we pray according to his will, he hears us and he gives us that request. What we ought to be doing is putting a significant emphasis on praying according to his will, which I'm sure a lot of you listeners, as I'm saying this, you're probably wondering, so what is his will, right?
So his will is not about whether I have a diesel engine or a gasoline engine.
No, and if you read the context in which this is occurring, it should be so obvious. But I remember until I heard Zane Hodges talking about this, I didn't put it all together. But it makes a lot of sense when you're reading the whole context. Because he says, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything... according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know that we have the requests which we've asked of him. But this is all within a context of his commandments.
Well, I'll give you an example. Okay, in chapter 4, he talks a lot about love. And he says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. So do you think John is talking about, if you don't love your brother, you should pray about loving your brother?
Absolutely, because that's clearly God's will.
So, for example, another example, I'm learning to be a parent. I'm learning to be a good father. The other day, one of my kids blatantly lied to me, but I want to be a good, godly parent to that child. I should pray to God about how best to love and discipline that child and to bring them up in the Lord, because I've been commanded to do so.
Right, so praying about that, you're praying according to God's will.
Right.
Because you're to raise up your children, but not provoke them to wrath. You know,
right.
Ephesians 6:4. And so praying about that's appropriate.
So the role of the prayer in the Christian life is that we should be praying about the Christian life. We should be praying about growing in spiritual maturity.
Right.
And this thing about what kind of pickup truck to buy, that's just not a part of it.
Well, it's not that we don't pray about those things. It's certainly fine to pray for your job and to pray for your mate and to pray for what car you're going to get and, you know, what house you're going to get. All those things are fine to pray for. But those are not central to our Christian lives. As nutty as that might sound, I mean, people might say, wait a minute, obviously, who I marry is central to my Christian life. Not really. What's central to your Christian life is Jesus Christ, following him, obeying him, serving him. And so the key to your spouse is finding someone who's going to come alongside you in that same desire, that they too want to obey him, they want to follow him, they want to serve him, and they're willing to do it in the way God says, which is what we're seeing in the six secrets. The key to the spouse is that you two are pulling in the same direction. You're yoked together. And the same thing would be true with whatever you're doing, that your job somehow fits within your life's direction, that your home does, your vehicle, everything, that all you're doing is underneath the umbrella of wanting to please God.
So John is very big on, you know, we're supposed to love our brothers, and this is the commandment that we have of them, that we love one another. I don't know, do you ever find that those commandments are burdensome? You know, it's kind of like, are we praying because these things are a burden for us, that they're really hard to do?
Yeah, he says in 5:3b, his commandments are not burdensome. And the reason for that is what we've talked about before. The face of our birth, the born of God part of us, the new nature part of us, is holy.
It wants to do those
things. It wants to do those things, so it's natural, and those things aren't burdensome. And so our prayer that we're praying according to his will ties in with his commandments. But you see, our focus is not really on the commandments. Our focus is on the commander. Hmm. Our focus is on Christ. And as we focus on Christ and we realize that we come short, let's say, of properly training our children or loving our wife as Christ loved the church or respecting our husbands, well, then we pray about that because we long to please him.
Mm-hmm.
But we realize that prayer is a vital aspect of our Christian victory.
You know, one thing that we've been exploring in this series is, you know, what is our responsibility and what's God's responsibility in this process of transformation? And it's not completely on us, where it's all about our grit and determination, and it's not completely passive, like let go and let God. There are some things that we're supposed to do to contribute to our growth, and one of those things is basically to ask God to grow us.
Right, and that's in one sense active, in another sense passive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's active in the sense that we're literally asking Him, but it's passive in the sense that we're looking to Him to give the answer.
I mean, because it's possible for someone to never, ever ask God about these things, to not care at all, never talk to Him about it, never ask Him to give him the strength or the wisdom to fulfill his commands.
There was a time in my Christian life where I basically thought it was a matter of just determination. And I remember I had a friend that said, Bob, you need to be asking God to change you. Well, up to that point, I really didn't look at it that way. I looked at it like, well, I'm just supposed to be trying harder. I came to see that, no, it's a matter of asking Him. I think to summarize what Zane Hodges is talking about, if we ask, is this: God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And part of humility is asking God according to His will. And we know His will is revealed in Scripture. So when God tells us not to do something, it's appropriate for us to pray about that. If God tells us to do something, it's appropriate for us to pray about it. And as we pray, God is involved in changing and transforming us in ways that bring more and more glory to Him.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion in this series that we're calling Six Secrets of the Christian Life. Now, you may know this, or you might have picked it up from the discussion, that we have a book by that exact same title, Six Secrets of the Christian Life by Zane Hodges. I want to tell you how you can get your own copy of this book, because I think it would be a great companion for this series. You can go to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the site, we have a store where you can purchase your own copy of Six Secrets of the Christian Life. Now, while you're on this site, I hope you'll take advantage of our many, many free resources. In fact, just today, I got in the mail the latest edition of Grace and Focus magazine. You should get a subscription as well. It's a free subscription. It's a beautifully laid out full-color magazine that has lots of great topics, just like what you hear on the radio show. So, you can get subscribed to that for free. In addition to that, you can get a subscription to our blog posts and our podcast of this very show. I hope you'll take advantage of all of those free resources, and we have so much more than that on the site, faithalone.org. Now, you might like to reach out to us, send us a message, and if that's the case, I hope you'll do it. I'm going to give you our email address so that you can do exactly that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Now, next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about how to have and keep a spiritual mindset. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.